Hello, everyone. God bless you all. Welcome to the Threshing Floor. This is your brother Cornelius. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that Jesus said in the book of Matthew when he and his disciples were about to eat. Some Pharisees, which are the religious leaders of the day, they began to question Jesus about some things. One of the questions that they had was, well, why don't you guys keep up with the traditions of our fathers? Like, why are you eating without washing your hands? Jesus says something very, very, very deep to the Pharisees. He says, he told them that it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth, that's what defiles you. And that's what I want to spend just a few minutes talking about, the things that come out of us that defile us. Just a few of the things I believe that Jesus was saying. He said, out of the mouth come forth from the heart evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. Now, if you think about some of the things that Jesus said, how does fornication and adulteries and thefts come forth from the mouth? Now, we know that we can murder someone with our words. Evil thoughts, things that we think can come out of our mouth. But how exactly does fornication and adulteries and thefts come out of our mouth? I believe what Jesus was referring to was that our whole life communicates. It's not just what we say, it's especially what we do. There are at least two times that I'm going to mention in the Word of God where the word conversation was used to describe your behavior. And I believe both were in 1st and 2nd Peter. I believe one was when Peter said, if you have this hope, if we know that Jesus is going to come back and that the elements are going to burn with fervent heat, how holy should we be in all manner of conversation? And we know he wasn't just talking about the words that you speak. He was talking about our behavior, because we have to not just be holding the things that we say, we have to exhibit, we have to live this lifestyle. He's saying we have to be holy in all manner of communication. We communicate with our body language, we communicate with the decisions that we make, we communicate with our words, we communicate our thoughts, the intentions of our heart. It is all communicated throughout our lives. Another place in 2 Peter, I believe, he said, he was talking about he was talking about Abraham's cousin Lot being vexed with the conversation of the wicked. So we know that he wasn't talking about in Sodom and Gomorrah, just the conversation, just the things that people were saying. Lot was vexed with the behavior of the wicked. And if you don't know, Sodom and Gomorrah was the place where Jesus sent two angels. God sent two angels into Sodom and Gomorrah to to get Lot out. These two men, or they were disguised as men, went into Lot's house, and the men of the city surrounded the house and asked Lot to bring the guys out so that they could rape them. So this is how wicked the city was. They were trying to rape angels. So we know that when Peter is talking about Lot being vexed with the conversation of the wicked, he wasn't simply talking about the words of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was talking about their behavior, their actions, their decisions, the way that they lived. So Jesus says this. He says, it's not what goes in to a man, out of the heart. The things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. We communicate all of those things that I described in the beginning: adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, blasphemies, so forth and so on. What I wanted to mention about the things that come out of the heart, he said those things defile man. And so I was considering the fact that it's not just what comes out of my heart that can defile me. It's what comes out of man's heart. So it's anybody's heart. If I communicate wickedness, if I communicate evil thoughts, blasphemies, murders, adulteries, thefts, and false witness, if I communicate those things in my lifestyle, I can defile you if you're focused on me. If I influence you, if you're around me and I'm communicating these things, I can influence you. I can defile you. And just as well, if I continue to hang around people and engage different things of the culture that involve these things, all communication, especially in the entertainment world, in this whole entertainment sector, when it comes to the things that we watch, we must be aware that all of that is communication that's coming from another man's heart, man or woman, what have you. Every movie about violence, every movie about sex, every movie about greed, pride, everything, blasphemy, all of this stuff comes from men's hearts, and they're feeding it to people in mass doses. Can you imagine the level of defilement that most people are walking around in, having been eating this stuff for years and years and years? And I'm a testimony of that. And I'm telling you, even when you're focused and you're being faithful and things like that, just the random thoughts that come to your mind about wicked things that you've seen in the past, that you've heard, that you did, some of the stuff doesn't even come from you. Images of devils. You didn't even think of it. You saw somebody else. You saw what somebody else had in their heart in a horror movie. And now you got the devils in your mind. And so that's what Jesus is warning against. Paul said something very powerful in Corinthians. I want to say it's 1 Corinthians of maybe 15. He tells the people, do not be deceived. That means the opposite. I'm gonna quote what he says first, and then I'm going to discuss it. He said, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. He didn't say it might. He didn't say, it can kind of mess you up. No. He said, evil communication corrupts good manners. And we've already discussed and established the fact that communication is not just talking about your words. It's talking about your whole lifestyle, your behavior, your beliefs acted out in this world. And so he's saying that if you believe that you can be around evil communication and it not corrupt you, he's saying that you're deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. When you mention how far out of this world, which is completely, by the way, when you mention how far out of this world people have to come, you would think you're asking them to literally chop off their right hand. Jesus said, if your right hand's offend you, chop it off. I offend you, pluck it out, so forth and so on. When you mention people not engaging the sinful aspects of this culture, you would think you're asking them to chop their hand off or do something heinous to their family. The level of love, the level of dedication and commitment that most have to the things of the world, the sinful aspects of this culture, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. Many will never have the same type of many will come to Christ, but many will never have the same dedication to Jesus as they did to Satan and when they were in the world. We go all out for Satan. We go all out for Satan because he pleases our flesh. We have our, favorite movies, favorite drinks, favorite cigarettes, favorite this, favorite that. We know we want to dress this way. We're completely like we choose, like we pick very particular ways to please Satan. When we come to Jesus, we think it's all boring. And that's why people hold on to entertainment after they come to Jesus because they think it's boring. They have no idea why they're doing what they're doing. They have no idea. They understand salvation to the degree that they're saved from hell, the consequences of their sin. But they don't understand that they're heirs to the throne. They don't understand the blessings and the access. They don't understand the treasures of the kingdom. It's not even a thought. Because we've been feeding ourselves this corrupt communication for so long. For so long, our minds are so corrupt, we can't even perceive a good thing. When Jesus came down from the mountain of configuration, of transfiguration, the mountain of transfiguration where his countenance shone and he had Peter, James, and John with him. When they came down, a man was trying to get his son free from a demon. The disciples down there couldn't do it. He asked Jesus, why couldn't they do it? And he said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. When he said perverse, that means that their thoughts were backwards. That means the truth about this life, the truth about God, the truth about the kingdom of God, it was twisted in their minds. They couldn't perceive it. They don't understand. We don't understand the kingdom of God because we have been receiving evil communication for so long that we're corrupt. Our minds are corrupt, which is why the Bible says we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He said, Father, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. We have to daily, consistently wash ourselves in the word of God. I'm not saying you don't want to leave a void. So if by the grace of God, when you pray and you ask the Lord to free you from the desires of the world and to give you new desires, give you a desire for his kingdom, when he frees you from that, Don't leave your time, don't leave your mind unoccupied. Seek the Lord, prayer, worship, the word of God, fellowship, ministry. Throw yourself at Jesus more so than you threw yourself at the devil. And people are going to call you extra. People are going to call you extreme. People are going to call you extreme. Even when you're on your way to heaven, even when you see the glory of God, even when they see you in your glorified state, people will still be saying you're extra. People will still be saying, oh, it doesn't take all of that. Yet they're still dealing with perversion. The same people that's telling you it doesn't take all of that still deal with various degrees of perversion, various degrees of murderous thoughts, lust, pride, everything that's going to get them condemned in the end. Everything is going to get them condemned. They're telling you, they will tell you that it doesn't take all of that. It doesn't take all of that to serve the Lord. Jesus said, strive. Lord, will there be many that enter into the kingdom? Or will there be many that be saved? There'll be few. I'm sorry. He said, Lord, will there be few who be saved? And Jesus said, strive. Strive, because many will seek to enter in and they won't be able to. People think it's a game. People think it's a game, but Jesus is serious. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Make sure your eye is single so that your whole body can be full of light. When Jesus said that, he's mean what you're focusing on. Make sure you are focused on Jesus with everything that you have. Give him your mind, give him your time, give him your heart, give him your strength. Let him transform you. It's no different than having a, and I want to make, this is just a general warning, and I want to try to tie it to something natural. When you're going to the gym, it would be very counterproductive to continue eating a lot of sweet. If you're going to the gym to achieve a certain level of fitness and health, it would be counterproductive for you to continue eating sweets, fatty foods, things that don't give you energy, things that put on weight faster than you can lose it. It would be counterproductive for you to do that. Likewise, when we come to Jesus, you got to lay some stuff down. Pursuing Jesus, prayer, reading the word of God, worship, fasting, all of that, your transformation can be severely delayed, if not outright stunted, if you continue to absorb the things of the world, if you continue lusting after the things of the flesh. Your growth will come to a screeching halt. Jesus does expect growth. He does expect growth, and it is in a period of time. So let's grow together. Let's lay down every weight and measure and the sin that so easily besets us. Let's pursue Jesus with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, our whole strength, all of it. Let's give him all of it. And let's not make excuses for why we do what we do. Let's not make excuses for it. You watch violence because you love violence. The same people who say you shouldn't watch pornography because it has a lot of fornication and it can mess up your mind and make you very lustful. The same people will sit there and watch games that have nothing to do with anything but pride, strife for vainglory. They'll watch that and say, no, it's not making me proud. It's not making me, watching violence is not making me violent. You haven't been put in the right situation. It's making you what you're watching. Unless you're calling Jesus a liar. Because he said, what comes out of a man's heart defiles him. And he labeled the things that do defile. And I'll close with something that Paul said. I want to say it's in 1 Corinthians as well, maybe in the earlier chapters. He said, if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. Him will God destroy. I'll leave it at that. If any man defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. Stop listening to men's hearts. Focus on Jesus. I love you guys. I pray that this message was a blessing for you. I don't plan on taking so long to do more podcasts. I do want this to be a continual thing, something that we can engage each other on and grow thereby. So God bless you guys. I love you. In Jesus' name, we'll talk soon.